in much need of the help of God by and through the Holy Spirit. I venture now to direct your thoughts and attention to the word you will find in the chapter read in the Proverbs, the book of the Proverbs, chapter 20, and reading verse 24. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? We have it recorded in the scripture that the Lord gave to Solomon wisdom above that of any who had lived before him, and I think it also says any who would come after him. And whilst I understand that perhaps not all of the Proverbs were necessarily written by Solomon, yet we perhaps might see, and certainly do see, the wisdom of God in his teaching of his people. And there is much in this book that speaks of and shows to us the way that God teaches his people. And there is often a comparison drawn, sometimes even in the same verse, between two opposite points of view. But how often there are these things which are expressed with such force of meaning. And how, dear friends, we need grace to seek and to know the Lord by his Spirit to shed his light upon his truth. Because these words are part of the Word of God, which is given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and is profitable in all things, and the Lord has his own sovereign purposes. Well, I venture then with these words this afternoon. Man's goings are of the Lord. This is a declaration of truth. And dear friends, we may do well to ponder and to consider our own path. Do we really fall under this truth? That our ways, our goings are ordered, are determined by God. Sometimes we may not find this a very easy truth. Sometimes, of course, man's goings are contrary to the ways of God. And how solemn it is to consider those who have no hope in Christ, that their ways and their goings are still under God's overall direction and permission. And we have in the Word of God those solemn things concerning the wicked in various places. But for instance, we have the truth spoken of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, in the days of the children of Israel and Moses. And it is so plainly set forth that it was God who permitted and caused Pharaoh to harden his heart. And I believe in one place it does, more than one place, but one word that comes to mind, the wicked are reserved unto the day of trouble. It may not be exactly how it is expressed, but in the substance of it. And therefore, dear friends, there is a sense in which this word is true concerning everyone that has ever been born upon this earth. God has his purpose, even in those things he permits. But I believe that this word really is directed to those in whose heart the Lord has placed his fear. Now, friends, does that bring us into it? Oh, have we that evidence that the Lord has granted to us that tender fear of God? You see, dear friends, how the poet cried out in one verse, then cry we to heaven with one loud accord, that to us be given the fear of the Lord. And, if the Lord has in his mercy granted to us that tender fear, then we shall certainly be found under this word and in it. Man's goings are of the Lord. And there are many instances in the Word of God where this truth is brought forth. And there are those scriptures that also directly speak of it. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And in many other ways, there are the truth, there is the truth that supports and gives further light upon this, man's goings. Man's goings are of the Lord. Now, friends, how does this find us? Oh, what a solemn thing when we are left to our own spirit. And we may be left in our own spirit to thinking that we are in control of our own way. This is the spirit of man by nature. And we like to live and we like to act in that way, that we want to do what we believe to be right. We want to go in the way that we believe is the way to go. We want to be able to say to those around, this is what I set out to do, and look, here I am. How man in general in this sad world likes to boast, and in those things especially accumulations of wealth. My hand has gotten me this wealth. And friends, we might say, well, we are not plagued with that spirit, but I tremble, friends. Because if I know anything of my own heart, aren't we ready sometimes, as it were, to count, to consider where we are with our possessions and our belongings, our achievements, and to say, this is what I have done. Oh, what a solemn thing it was with that great king, and I know that we will not be in that position. We are not permitted of God to do such wonderful and great things as he did, Nebuchadnezzar. But dear friends, consider it. Oh, how the Lord brought him down. He walked about in his garden in Babylon, was it not? And his heart was lifted up with what he had done and achieved. And then, as he expressed it, don't we read in that same hour? I might just turn to it in the book of Daniel. And if I could just light upon it, the great king who was brought down, and all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honour of my majesty? Dear friends, as I've said, we may certainly not have been and are not elevated to that degree, but the same spirit dwells within us sometimes. And what happened to this great king? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. You see, dear friends, the Lord will bring down proud hearts. Now, sometimes this is painful work, but what a mercy if we are brought down and under the hand of God and are favoured to indeed acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, we have the evidence also of that great king, that the lesson that the Lord brought upon him wrought that acknowledgement, that before he did not know, it was not in his heart, but at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honoured him that liveth for ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And friends, you know how this goes on. I will just read it in a moment. But in a way, what can we find in God's word? A greater acknowledgement of the sovereign hand of God over all things. And what did this great king, he was brought to it, and he had to utter, and he had to acknowledge in these words, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he, that is God, he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Oh, friends, that great king learned a lesson indeed. And what about you and I then? Man's goings are of the Lord. Oh, friends, what a mercy if the Lord has brought us to see something of the truth that it is of the Lord. It is of the Lord. The way that he has brought you. The way that he has dealt with you. And friends, the things that he permits in our life, in our own case, in secret, there are those things that we would not perhaps want others to know. But the Lord has permitted them. And you and I may have, perhaps, as we look back, we might think, well, I'd never have thought that this would come into my life. And, oh, friend, has it brought down our pride? And things in family life, and things in our employments, work, sometimes how we have to prove that God is indeed over it, but he brings about things in such a way that we would never have thought it would have been possible. But dear friends, what a mercy to see that the Lord has not made a mistake. Too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. Man's goings are of the Lord, and then in the church of God as well, and in the nation. Oh, friends, just a thought about our nation. God brought about that result in the referendum last year. We do believe that. But what will be the working out of it? What will be the working out of it? Oh, we have much need still to seek the Lord, don't we? And that there might be yet that proving that whatever many scheming people may be trying to do, all for our nation, may we yet see the Lord's mercy. But then I want to keep to the word. I hope more particularly for the way that the Lord brings his dear people through this wilderness world. Man's goings. Though we walk through this wilderness, God's promise is our stay. His goodness he will make to pass before us in the way. Man's goings are of the Lord. And dear friends, it certainly will be so for a child of grace. Oh, it will. Though it will be often in ways that we have not known. It is the Lord's promise. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Oh, friends, have you had to bow under that and also to bless the Lord for it? And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in powers that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight." And friends, then he confirms it in an emphatic declaration. "These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them." You see, dear friends, man's goings are of the Lord. And friends, it will be what the Lord does with poor sinners, not just the way he leads you. And friends, that's another aspect of the way that the Lord teaches poor sinners. He showed it to one in the Word of God. "Have not I power, said the Lord, to do to you as I have, as the potter has to this clay?" And what a place of sweet submission to be in, where one another declared, "Thou art our Father, we are the clay." Oh, friends, have you had to prove you're nothing but clay? And the Lord has a sovereign right to do with you what he will. Man's goings are of the Lord. And friends, what a mercy when we are favoured to prove, to acknowledge it and to see it and to praise God for it. But it may not always be. It won't happen at once. It won't happen at once. Oh, friends, how the Lord leads. He brings his dear people dependent. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? You cannot lean on yourself. You cannot lean on an arm of flesh. Man's goings are of the Lord. You've got to come leaning. You've got to come leaning. It's the only safe way. It's the only right way. Leaning upon her beloved. Oh, who is this? Oh, poor sinner. Have you had to prove then that your ideas and your ways are not the Lord's ways? I do hope it was right that I also read that 55th chapter in Isaiah. I was greatly troubled whether to read anything more or not, and what to read if I did. But dear friends, that's a word that none of us can interfere with. What a blessing you'll see presently. Thus saith the Lord, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways. And friends, that requires great submission, humility to bow under that. But friends, what a mercy when we see that what the Lord has determined is best. Man's goings are of the Lord. Now, you know, there are these scriptures, and this is one of them I feel. It comes quite easily off the tongue, and it's a short sentence. But dear friends, to walk in it is another matter. To walk in it is another matter. Oh, some of those things that the Lord brings, afflictions, painful paths, distressing paths, and friends, the enemy comes, and our own wretched, wicked, deceitful hearts, and we say, the poet puts it like this, "Can this be, Lord, thy way? Can this be, Lord, thy way? This scene, this path, these pains, this darkness, can this be, Lord, thy way?" Oh, friends. But you see, these walkings in the path will, under the Lord's mercy, will bring us to the second part of the verse. And friends, there's more humbling still in this. How then? How can... How can a man then understand his own way? Is God's question to us. How can a man understand his own way? This is contrary to all nature and all natural desire, isn't it? It really is. Do you know anything of your own heart and mind? You want to understand the way, don't you? You want to feel this is because of this, and that is because of that, and so on. And this is leads to this, and that led to that, and it fits together, and all falls into place. Does it? Does it? Friends, sometimes there's a long time. A long time. And what did the Lord Jesus say to his own dear beloved disciples? What I do, thou knowest not now. Thou knowest not now, friends. Our old nature and our minds, we can't hardly bear it, can we? What I do, thou knowest not now. But friend, he doesn't leave poor sinners in endless distress. No. It's not endless distress. His promise and every word of God will stand. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Thou shalt know. And friends, that is a resting place for faith, isn't it? Oh, do you long to know a grain of living faith? So man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? But I hope that this word might be in the Lord's hand for a comfort. Now, how can that be? Well, friends, it may be there's some thing in your path that you cannot understand. And it may be that the enemy and your unbelief that dwells within will say, how can I be in the right way? How can I be in the right way? Because I do not understand it. And you find you're trembling indeed. But dear friends, it's not a requirement of God's dealings with his dear people that it's not a requirement that we should necessarily understand. It's not a requirement. Oh, friends, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? What we need, friends, what you need, what I need, is we need that submission and that trust. Trust. What was it dear Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And really, dear friends, that was faith. Oh, that was faith, wasn't it? And then think of Abraham with his only son, only begotten of Sarah, his beloved Sarah. And Isaac, he's commanded to take Isaac. Surely there was an instance. How could he understand it? How could he understand it? Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him up. What? This child of promise? In Isaac shall thy seed be called. You see, dear friends, here and there the Lord has shown to us in his word And I believe also there are those different accounts of the Lord's people. And perhaps it's also those we may have near and dear to us, those ways in which the Lord has led them. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? But you see, dear friends, oh, it's not a mark against a man. It's not a mark against a child of God. No, indeed, it's the very opposite. It's a token that your path is ordered by the Lord. I was reading a little of a sermon preached, I think it was by the Puritan, or the one, Dr. John Owen was his name. Owen, a well-known godly man. And I happened to pick up an old Gospel Standard only yesterday. And you see, dear friend, I had not thought of it in relation to this word until now. But the word that the dear man was venturing to open up was in the last words of David, the son of Jesse. Now, where did he come to? Where did the Lord bring him? Although my house be not so with God. Poor David. And yet he knew in his heart, of course, that some of those things that God had brought were a consequence of his own sins, but everything wasn't in apple pie order. He was coming towards his end, and it wasn't as he would have wished. Although my house be not so with God. Oh, according to David's reckoning, there was things that weren't as they ought to be, or as he wished and longed for them to be. But did it mean then that what God had done for him and all that the Lord had done through him, did it as it were cancel all the tokens that he had had? No, friends. What was it that secured David? What was it that so helped him? Why, I believe that this is a word indeed for us, and we so need the Lord to shine through it in our hearts, in our case. Yet, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Ordered. Think of it. Ordered in all things and sure. Nothing's out of place, friends, in God's infinite wisdom. Man's goings are of the Lord. Yes. And dear David could see in it, this is all my salvation and all my desire. Although he make it not to grow. There were not, shall we say, those things that David would have liked to have seen. But friends, it was his own soul and those whom the Lord had given to him, their souls were secure. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Well, if indeed this is one of the Proverbs of Solomon, when you think of Solomon, all the wisdom that God had given to him, and yet here is one thing that Solomon could not understand. He was given much understanding in many things, but here was something that he couldn't understand, his own way. His own way. And friends, you see the mysterious purposes of God in his dealings with his people. And friends, why is it? It is that no flesh shall glory in his presence, and all the glory is to be his. man's goings are of the Lord. Now, friends, what a wonderful token. As the Lord may be pleased to shine upon it. Man's goings are of the Lord. Oh, you have to indeed confess that many are, and we have to come there, many are our failings. Many are our mistakes. Sometimes we've been left to a proud spirit, sometimes to a rebellious spirit, and sometimes to a complaining spirit. But man's goings are of the Lord. In spite of what we are, the Lord has overruled and does overrule, and he will yet order all things after the counsel of his own will. Well, I just think, as I come to close, it came into my thoughts earlier on, and it's just come back again, in that 40th chapter of Isaiah. Oh, friends, I don't know, does this bring you in? Why sayest thou, O Jacob, why? Oh, why? Why sayest thou, O Jacob? And speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord. You see, we can come there. My way is hid from the Lord. And my judgment is passed over from my God. Hath he forgotten to be gracious? But dear friends, oh, how we need to come down here as the Lord might be pleased to bring us. And open our eyes. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Ah, fainteth not. Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And then the Lord gives these blessed promises. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Solemn warning. But the Lord knows where it is needed. But then we have a but. Ah, friends, the Lord never lets his own dear people sink under his word completely. But they that wait upon the Lord, young, middle-aged and old, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Amen.